as we go through these readings, Amos and Matthew, many things come alive again, don't they? Today we begin in the prophecy of Amos. On that day I will raise up the fallen hut of David. I will wall up its breaches and raise up its ruins. You recognize that? It was this text that St. James invoked at the Council of Jerusalem when there was this question of how to admit the Gentiles. And he invoked this text saying that God's going to do it, but he's going to do it his way. In the Gospel, we go on with this teaching of Jesus. Right now, we have a series of questions. Commentators call them conflict stories. But this teaching of Jesus, you know, these people came up to him and they said, your disciples don't fast, but it's, you know, one of the backbones of our whole religious practice that we fast. Why don't they fast? Now, our Lord could have given a lot of different answers there. Well, I'm training these people. They're getting ready, you know, and they have to learn. Fasting can be just an external observance. I want them. You know, lots of things he could have said. But he said, can the wedding guests mourn so long as the bridegroom is with them? Now, he said that for two reasons, which is so characteristic of his gentleness with his opponents. No, nobody fasts at a wedding party. It would be an insult. Oh, sorry, no. I'm fasting today. I'm just here. That would be so out of place, wouldn't it? For anybody to do that. So there's a reason for rejoicing now, because the bridegroom is present. Now, had they wanted to, and this, so many of our Lord's answers are like this, had they wanted to, they could have said, do you think you're some sort of bridegroom? And then he could have gently led them to understand who he is. Ah, yes, I am. I'm the bridegroom of my people. I am the one who spoke to them from the beginning. I spoke to Abraham. I guided Moses. I forgave David. Yes, I'm the bridegroom. But they didn't. So he goes on to talk about another reason why he's doing this. The fathers of the church are so sensitive to our Lord's pastoral care of his disciples. It's quite beautiful. They're not ready. Yeah, they could go and fast like everybody else. Fast in those days would mean, like the Muslims do today, don't eat anything all day, but then at night you can eat whatever you want. Ramadan, you know, for the kids, the ones who don't have to fast all day, is like 1 month-long Christmas. Every night, a big banquet, you know, they fast till sundown, but then they don't fast. There's a great big banquet, and everybody's having fun and having a good time, and the kids love it. The adults don't love it so much during the day, but they make compensation at night. He says, there's something new going on here, my friends. Do you understand? Now, whether our Lord actually used these two images right here or whether the gospel tradition joined them, we don't know. But it's quite likely that he did because, again, this is sort of his way with them, his opponents. What is new is incompatible with what is old. The old has to adjust. There's something so new coming, do you understand? And so he uses these two images, huh, about the old cloak. And if you have a piece of unshrunken cloth and you sew it onto a garment, then you wash it, well, the shrunken cloth is going to shrink. The unshrunken cloth is going to shrink and pull the whole thing, make it worse. Or if you put new wine in old wineskins, you see, they've already been expanded as far as they can go, and they're, you know, they're old, and you need new wineskins. And then all that fermentation, and boom, and it explodes, and there you are, you've wasted. So I think if we want to understand these things, you see, we have to look and see what is new. What is new? Why is our Lord saying, there, yes, there's a new, going to be a new way of fasting. And it's going to be beautiful. And it's going to be entering into my fasting, my prayer. It's going to be a way that the church, my disciples, are going to carry the world and pray for it and intercede and speak to it. And that's new. There's a new way of fasting. And the new way is love. The new way is love. It's always a good discipline to fast. Lots of people fast. It's good for your health, you know. But to deprive yourself out of love for others. If you don't eat a lot, you've got some money left over you can give to the poor. Start that way. And then there's that deep inner care. Our Lord knows, as he's standing there, that one day he will dwell in his disciples. And he, in his disciples, will care about the whole world. And he will pray for the whole world. He will intercede for the whole world. And he will fast for the whole world. And that's what's new. The living presence of the incarnate Son of God within every baptized believer. As that starts to mature, that believer can say with full conviction, I live now, not I. Christ lives in me. I experience this. This isn't just a principle I'm invoking. I know that this is true. I know that Christ lives in me, prays in me, fasts in me, forgives in me, cares about others in me, preaches the gospel in me, heals in me. I know that. And that's what's new. And as that begins to take over our lives, of course we fast. We fast from many things. I could start the list now, and you could conclude it, right? If I were to list right now the ways that God's people have to fast, what do you think I'd put at the top of the list? Television. It's a scandal. It's corrupting. Eat and drink all day and drink a bottle of scotch, that's not so bad. But 20 minutes at that television, that's pernicious. And we're addicted to it. I'd start right there. Christ in me is finished with television. Must be 5 or 6 years ago now, I threw the thing out. I said, this is degrading. All I ever watched was the sports. The news is such, it's so false, so twisted, so politically driven, that it's no sense paying any attention to it. I mean, it's just more propaganda for Obama. I mean, it's not news. And I just threw it out. And I've been very happy ever since. And when I catch the Pro Bowl, I know, or what's, yeah, the Pro Bowl, whatever that thing is, the Pro Bowl, yeah. I know lots of people are going to watch it. I can go sit with them. And what after that? What else would you fast from if Christ is living in you, you see? What else would you fast from? You see, greed. More and more money, more and more comfort, more and more whatever, right? More and more work. What about taking a whole retreat to just reflect How can I, living here in this corporate culture, live a Christian life and not be driven by work, 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 and still keep my job? That requires divine wisdom and a little guts and a little ability to say, I'm not going to take that route because it will enslave me. And you could finish the list, huh? Food? I mean, Lordy day. If we had lovely big meals, most of the time we're all running out to McDonald's, which is penance. You know, but of course we fast from food and drink, but you see, it's this intake. Eating is the process by which we take things into ourselves and turn them into ourselves. We do that with people. We use them. I only had a few minutes left on this particular tape, and Kevin is waving at me that it's over. So we'll have to fast from the rest of this. But you get the idea. You can sit home now and make your own list out, right?